Would you join me in prayer? Holy God of Abraham and Isaac, Sarah and Rebecca, Boyd and Deborah and Nona, as you led Simeon to embrace the infant Jesus and Anna to proclaim salvation for Jerusalem, guide us, Holy Spirit, by your gracious light, that we may welcome your saving word. Amen. Today is the first Sunday after Christmas and the first day of 2017. It is also the day that many people start making resolutions, promises to do something more or do something less. The first day of the new year usually represents a fresh start for some people or a new beginning when the previous year is over. I know some folks who make resolutions like, my resolution is not to make any resolutions, or other people who promise to spend less time in front of screens or to give more hugs or to eat more ice cream or whatever. Yeah. So if you make resolutions, I salute you. If you don't, I salute you as well. So, and our text is not about resolutions, but it is about decisions. Resolutions are full of promises, full of hope that the future will be better than the past. And decisions are that way too. The people in this passage all made decisions that brought them to a specific place and a specific time in the temple in Jerusalem. They all made those decisions believing that they were being faithful to the promise that God had made. And the Christ child is a catalyst in this story because he provokes a decision for Simeon and for Anna, for Mary and for Joseph. And I believe for us too. This is a time beyond expectations for Mary and Joseph. They have traveled a lot and they've given birth and now they're traveling back home and they have a 40-day-old baby and they make a pit stop on the way home. And I don't know about you, but if I was Mary and I'd given birth in a cave next to animals, the last thing I'd want to do is go to Jerusalem before going home to be with my family. I'd want to go be with my family who could probably help me with some, I don't know, like how do I take care of this baby kind of thing, and also I'm tired of being on a donkey and etc. But they make a pit stop because they're being faithful. They decide to go to Jerusalem with this little baby and do what is commanded them according to the law. In the passage, it points out that they're being obedient to the law of Moses by bringing Jesus to the temple. And that's true, that's what they were doing. But they were also doing this for Mary's sake. In Jewish culture, women are considered unclean after they give birth, so Mary wasn't allowed to be in the temple until 40 days after she'd had the baby. So she was barred from being part of the worshiping community until the baby was about like 5 weeks old. So the purification ritual they talk about is actually for Mary's benefit, and the dedication is for the baby. So it's like a matchup of two things essentially happening in this moment. If Jesus had been a girl, I'd like to point out, it's 80 days, which I think is pretty messed up. Just saying. So luckily Jesus was a boy, so Mary could worship in the temple sooner than if he had been a girl. So they go to this thing, and Mary is only allowed to be in the outer court of the women in the temple, but Joseph sticks around. Joseph doesn't have to be there for this part. He only has to be there for the dedication of the baby. But Joseph doesn't wait outside of the temple like a dutiful husband for Mary to finish her business with the priest. He's there for the whole thing because Joseph has bought into the belief that this decision about this baby and the new covenant that's coming is also about him too. And it's not just about Mary and this baby. Even though he's not the biological father and even though he has no idea what's going to happen next for him as he journeys in this crazy holy family deal, but he chooses to stay because he's committed to being part of the story with Mary and committed to being part of the story with this little child who is going to bring change in the world. They also bring turtle doves, which is a symbol of their poverty. You'll notice that the text doesn't say this, but usually you bring a lamb, which is a like huge sacrifice, which is a sign of wealth and also of privilege, a sign that this child is a firstborn, is a big deal, and matters, and this family could only afford to bring two pigeons or two turtle doves. And it's another marker for us that Jesus was born to a pair of country kids who did not have privilege or power in this world, that Jesus was brought in the arms of these kids from this backwater place, and carried into the temple in Jerusalem. They decide to bring what they can and to do what they can because they believe that the promise matters, and what they're doing to obey that promise matters too. He shows them as obedient to God's revelation because they have no other choice in a lot of ways. They're obedient because they care enough about this promise to see it through, and they decide to make this stop because it matters. And before anything can happen with the priests, Simeon enters the scene. He's not even mentioned as a prophet, but talked about as having the Spirit of God upon him. And I find it really interesting that we're in the temple, and yet there are no priests in this story. We talk about the ceremony and we talk about the temple, but there's no mention of the priests having anything to do with what's going on with Jesus. So there's this old guy, Simeon, who's been waiting around for the baby Jesus to be born. And he is so, like, so faithful and so willing to wait. And God actually tells him, I won't let you die until you see the Savior. So he has a decision to make. He can wait. He can decide not to say anything. But he decides to go up to these parents and tell them what he sees and what God has shown him. And he doesn't hold back. He says everything that God has shown him about this child and who this child will be in the world. He tells them that this child will be the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and that the sword will pierce the soul of Mary as well. He doesn't tell them just, like, beautiful things about this child, but things that are painful and things that are difficult. And after Simeon comes, Anna comes and speaks to this family. And Anna has been a faithful member of the temple, fasting and praying night and day, and she's been living there and is a widow. Widows, as some of you may know, don't really have any status in Jewish culture. They rely on other people completely to care for them. And so she would be considered someone who is lowly and someone who doesn't have a lot of social status. So her word would not mean very much to some folks, especially a stranger coming up to you. And although she is elderly and represents the wisdom of age, she's also a woman, which makes her another other in this culture. And yet, she's considered a prophet too. She goes up to Mary and Joseph, and she prophesies about the salvation that's coming for all in Israel. One thing I think is a shortchange for us is that we don't actually know what Anna says. Simeon gets this beautiful song, and then Anna prophesies and is the one called a prophet, and yet we have no idea what she really says. But I imagine that she says something that's revolutionary, and I imagine that she says something that changes everything for this couple. When Mary and Joseph are finally done with all of this, that there's like a little two-verse thing that's not in our passage today, but it actually says that they go home. That's what they do. They go home. There's nothing else that they do. They don't go to consult the priests about the things that have been said to them. They don't go and muse with other people, other relatives they may have in Jerusalem about what was told them about this baby and what their lives would be like. Instead, they decide to go home. We've been given this Christ child too. We have carried this child with us through Advent. We have waited for him to be born. And he finally came last week. So now he's here with us. And now we are all going home, so to speak. We are going home with this baby and wondering what in the world to do with this child who's been given to us, this child who's going to change everything. Mary and Joseph decide to go home and live with the news that the world is going to change and they don't know what it will look like. And we've also been given that responsibility too. We are part of the fall and the rise that Simeon talks about with the baby. The fall and the rise, the suffering that Mary will feel, the suffering and the resurrection of Christ. That is part of our story because we are part of the Christian story. And it's part of our story because Christ is in it with us, is in the suffering and in the resurrection with all of us. So my hope for all of us today as we go from this place is that you will welcome this child home with you, that as you have carried this child through Advent and also carry him home, that you are in awe of this vulnerable and powerful child who is with you wherever you go, and that the Christ child is with you in the falling and the rising, in the suffering and in the glory of your lives, and in the stories that you tell each other about who you are and who Christ is and where we are going together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.